Santana hits it well to center. Robert is back.
He's all the way back, yes! And the game is tied. Carlos Santana picked a perfect spot to get his first hit of this road trip. And now he's going to bunt, and the play to the plate.
He spiked it.
And Michael Taylor's going to score, and the Royals take the lead.
Back-to-back bunts. You wouldn't have called that ever.
That was a pretty special game right there. Love to watch these guys come back and fight their way through. Great opportunity to maximize on an outing where Minor just kept us in it. It could have got away from him. He did a terrific job early on kind of holding that in place and giving us a chance. And then the bullpen came in. Obviously not ideal giving up a couple of those runs, but for our guys to keep coming late like that, Carlos to give us a chance to keep breathing. And how about that last one? That's a tough assignment for Nicky Lopez right there, coming up and laying one down, a really tough lefty, and then Benny getting creative how to get a run in or at least put pressure on. So real happy for our guys today. That's the kind of win that I've talked about this on opening day, right? Ones that you feed off of, ones you hope kind of have a hangover effect.
Royals beat the White Sox yesterday 4-3 after being rained out on Saturday. They win it in 10 innings. Of course, the automatic runner at second to start the 10th inning. Royals bunt him over to third, and another bunt by Andrew Benintendi, as you just heard, that scored the game-winning run, scoring Michael A. Taylor and Carlos Santana with the home run off of closer for the White Sox, Liam Hendricks, in the top of the ninth to tie it at three apiece. Greg Holland gets the win, and Kyle Zimmer gets his first ever save. And he was warming up in the second inning of this game, and then was warming up and then came in for the 10th and got the save. First career save for Kyle Zimmer. Royals now 4-3. White Sox fall to 4-5 with Merrifield with a couple of base hits. And Kyle Isabel, also the rookie, had two hits for the Royals as KC wins. Mike Minor, four innings, one run, three walks, three strikeouts. And then it was a combination of Scott Barlow, Wade Davis, Josh Domont, Jesse Hahn, who gave up a couple of runs, then Greg Holland for two innings, and then Kyle Zimmer for the save as the Royals get it done and beat the White Sox. The Royals will now turn around, and they will play tonight, 7:10 first pitch at the K, the first of 10 games in a row, 10-game homestand in Kansas City. Brady Singer on the hill for the Royals. Angels coming in off to a nice start at 6-3. And we'll go through Major League Baseball standings coming up, figure out who's off to a good start, who isn't. And also, a big controversy in Major League Baseball last night. Once again, instant replay in Major League Baseball not working the way it's designed. And there are some very outspoken critics of replay, some that might not have been critics until what took place last night. You have any idea what I'm talking about?
I don't.
All righty.
I was unpacking and never had a chance to see that.
Will and Dusty will be just like all our listeners out there. I'll fill everyone in on what took place on a nationally televised TV game between the Phillies and the Braves. Local sports before we get to that.
Yeah, it was a pretty slow weekend as far as immediate area teams were concerned. Pike Valley and Republic County were at the Riley County Freeze and Falcon relays on Friday in track, and you can find the results at ncksports.com. Concordia made up a doubleheader with Riley County. They didn't get the second game all the way in softball. Riley County won game one, 10-1. Second game was called due to rain with a 5-5 tie. They're not going to make it up. There's just going to be a tie on the records for both teams. So that's where that sits right now as far as local sports from Friday, and then really nothing over the weekend. Coming up today, actually nothing in the immediate area varsity-wise, but I do have baseball and softball coming up tomorrow we want to remind you about for the Beloit Trojans taking on Clay Center, and you can see those doubleheaders, varsity action online on the Beloit Trojan channel at ncksports.com, and those will start at 4 o'clock for both baseball and softball for the Beloit Trojans against Clay Center tomorrow. So that's kind of what's going on in local sports, and again, as always, for the latest in spring sports notes, check out ncksports.com.
A controversial loss replay challenge by the Braves in the ninth inning last night. It was the feature game on ESPN. Was a difference in the game as a visiting Philadelphia Phillies came from behind for a wild 7-6 victory. Phillies third baseman Alec Baum, who, of course, was a Wichita State Shocker, slid home with the eventual winning run as Braves catcher Travis Dernard attempted to apply the tag, moving from the third base side of the plate to the first base side where Baum was coming in. Home plate umpire Lance Barrett called Baum safe, although replays show he might never have touched home plate at all. After a long delay for the video challenge, the ruling on the field was upheld. And if you go back and you look and you use your eyes, just like everybody else did watching the replays, there are five different angles, and not a single one confirmed that Baum even touched the plate. It was actually many people were talking about it on social media. Mm-hmm. It was all over social media last night. It was a major controversy. And after what took place with the hit by pitch that involved the Mets and the Marlins that we talked about last week, where you can't review whether or not the guy did not make an effort to step into the strike zone, take a hit by pitch that was a strike to score the game-winning run, that's one thing. This was reviewable, and they still got it wrong. Here are the Atlanta Braves. This will be first up. You'll hear their manager, Brian Snitker, who obviously was not very happy. Also, you'll hear from Drew Smyly, pitcher, and then also Travis Dernard, the catcher. If you remember him, he was a catcher for the Mets when the Royals beat him in the 2015 mm-hmm. World Series. Here are the Braves after the game about what they thought of the call that was not overturned but seemed pretty obvious to about anybody in the world watching.
I wondered till I saw a certain angle, and I was confirmed my what I thought, that he didn't touch the plate.
Hey, did you think he touched the plate?
No, I didn't. It's a shame to end a game like that. It's, you know, in real time, it's obviously bang, bang. Lance is right there in position, making the best call he can. But then we have five different angles on a national televised game. And it's clear that his foot didn't touch the plate, that it was on the chalk. Everyone saw it and sees it. You know, everyone knows it. And for MLB not to overturn that, it's embarrassing. You know, why even have replay if you can won't overturn that? So that's the way I feel about it. I think everybody feels that way. They say there wasn't enough evidence, but there's five different angles. It's clear. He didn't touch the plate.
When you see all the angles show it did not happen and then they call stands, do you lose faith in the system?
Absolutely. You know, it's makes me not even want it anymore, honestly. It just slows the game down. It took like 5 minutes for them to decide that, and to me, they got it wrong, so I'd rather just not have it and get the game going.
So that's two games now in the span of less than a week that have been determined by replay or not, but should have been. And that defeats the whole purpose of replay.
Yeah.
And I'm with Travis Dernard, the catcher. If you're not going to get it right, then let's just scrap it. And I'm with him. And this is Major League Baseball's problem right now. I'll tell you a few things are wrong with the replay system in Major League Baseball. Well, at least one thing. And that is, the NFL, at least the guy on the field gets to watch it, and then he gets to make the decision. But in Major League Baseball, it goes to people in New York. Todd Tischner's explained this to us.
Yeah.
And they've got a set of one umpire that is there at headquarters, and they're watching. And the guys that actually are calling the game, in this case, Lance Barrett, who was the home plate umpire, who made the call that he was safe, which was the wrong call based on what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
However, replay is supposed to cover those mistakes. And so he doesn't get to see all these replays. All he does is have a headset on. He's listening to what they're discussing in New York. I'm guessing they brought over some other umpires to look at that in New York as well, because that was the primetime game on ESPN. So they should have had one. They would have one umpire assigned to it, as Todd Tischner's explained to us. But there probably were others that came over and provided a little bit of input, or whoever was there in the headquarters in New York. And they decided that there wasn't anything clear. Apparently, they can't determine that he didn't touch the plate. And if anybody else with the naked eye, and including myself, watch that, there's no way you can tell me that he touched the plate. There's no way. And so that comes down to, if you have all these angles and you still can't get it right, and the Phillies weren't even arguing it, okay?
Yeah.
And that determined the game in a way, because the Phillies scored. That was the top of the ninth. The Braves, yes, had a chance in the bottom of the ninth, but that happens in the ninth. That run shouldn't count. And it did, and it was the game-winning run. And of course, the game that ended with the hit-by-pitch that we talked about last week with the Mets and Michael Conforto leaning in and getting hit by an actual strike, a pitch that was called a strike initially, and you can't. That's not reviewable. There's another problem with replay. Everything needs to be reviewable. We talked about that last week. But now in this case, it's a reviewable play. You have five different angles. They had more angles on that play last night than any other regular season game they'll have, because ESPN's doing it. It's the prime time Sunday night game. Like, if the Royals and the White Sox yesterday, I guarantee you they didn't have five angles if that same play took place. But last night you did. So you had all the added advantage of having as many angles as possible, and they still got it wrong. And if you're not going to get it right, and the point of replay is to get it right, and if you still get it wrong, then we really honestly are wasting a lot of time and effort.
100% a waste of time.
Yes, no doubt. And anyway, it took 5 minutes to decide, and then you still didn't get it right. And that's what I've said before. You got to put a stopwatch on it. You know, I don't need. If it takes you 5 minutes to figure it out, I've said before, I guess you stick with the call in the field. That's what I would do. If you can't overturn it, and if it's not clear cut, you should have 1 minute, maybe, and maybe 90 seconds. And if you can't figure out within 60 or 90 seconds, then it's clearly not conclusive. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, whoever it was in New York didn't think it was conclusive based on all these angles, but yet anybody else that sees all this stuff from every walks of life and had the same camera angles apparently that they did, although there's sometimes in New York they have a different angle than, you know, that we don't get to see on TV. But in this case, it doesn't sound like it. And then it ends up costing you a game. No wonder you're upset about it. And if you're a team that won because of that call, like the Phillies, you still got to wonder if you believe in karma, there's going to be a time where it's going to come around and replay is going to bite you in the butt, which maybe it's already done to the Phillies. So, yeah, it defeats the whole purpose of replay. And I do believe that it's more important for the guy that's on the field to make the call. Like Lance Barrett, he can look at this and say, you know what? I missed it. I missed it. I've seen it. I've seen enough. I'm brave enough to say, hey, I messed up. And I'm going to correct the call. Yeah. Now, one of the reasons they have it in New York and to defend Major League Baseball is some umpires can be stubborn, and they just don't want to admit they messed up. But to me, that doubling down, making one mistake into two, and you will get graded that way anyway. But that was the thinking, as an impartial umpire who's not involved in the emotion of the game could go ahead and make the call from New York.
You take that element all the way out of it.
Right.
Like, I didn't mess up. Don't tell people I messed up.
Right. And let's be honest, Major League Baseball home plate umpires deal with the players and talk to the players and deal with it all game long, calling balls and strikes, whereas an NFL official, you know, not talking to everybody all the time. I mean, they'll be on the sideline. Sometimes they'll talk to the coach here and there. So it's a different animal, no doubt. But I kind of still like the guy that's on the field that made the call originally gets to look to see where he messed up, and then he can say, I messed up, and change the call. I like how the NFL does it more so, to be quite honest with you. Because if you get it wrong, not only on the field, but then you get it wrong after looking at it, now you're going to be downgraded big time as an official.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing to gain by being stubborn and saying, well, you know I messed up, but I'm not going to admit it. And I've seen the video, and I know it's wrong, but I'm not going to admit it, and uphold the call. That's going to cost you down the line with your job in Major League Baseball or in the National Football League. So I still like the guy that's involved with the game. He makes the call. Use all the angles you want. Provide the feed for him and watch everything, and he make a determination. Maybe it's a logistics thing in regards to – it shouldn't be a logistics thing. You should be able to run to one of the dugouts. They got monitors and everything else, and they should be able to watch it. And, yeah, that might take a little bit of time to go that way, too. But the replay system right now, Major League Baseball, you have to sit here and wonder if it's broken.
Yeah.
We played only 9 or 10 games of the season. We have two major controversies.
That's what's sad about it, too. Yeah, we're just into it. Yeah, and I've, while you're talking about it, watched three of the different angles, and it's like he comes in right close to it, and then it just his foot just skips all the way
right over the top of it.
Yeah, and then it lands on the other side, and it's like, wow, how do you not see it? Unless it's like cleats magically grew while he was in between, and you could see the umpire's shin come into camera.
Right.
But yeah, it's man, that's yeah, it's an issue for sure, and yeah, and you don't want to say 100% that it's an issue, but like we're saying, like if you're not going to use it to get it right, then don't use it. Don't use it at all. Get rid of it. Let's let the umpires make all the calls.
Right.
If you're not going to get things right when you've spent the time and invested the money in all these cameras and all this equipment and all this technology to be able to do this, and you don't do it the right way, it's not worth it.
It's one thing where these calls are being wrong, but these are two calls that have determined the outcomes of games. This one, not at the very end of the game, but very close in the top of the ninth, that gave them the lead run. And the Braves only had three outs to get one to tie it in 4 extra innings. And then, of course, the Mets and Marlins game was a complete walk-off. There was no – that did determine the game at the very end. It was over once they made that call and upheld it.
You can't review it.
You can't review the way they could review whether he got hit, but they couldn't review if he would leaned in or didn't make an effort to get out of the hit-by-pitch. And he can't – they couldn't review whether he was in the strike zone or not and this and that. And, yeah, and that's something I bet you will be touched upon and talked about in the offseason. And that will be a reviewable call next year. And that's how it is in replay. It's and baseball is always, I've said this many times before, Major League Baseball, one of the reasons it fell behind the NFL and in some cases the NBA, but mainly the NFL, because baseball used to be America's best pastime. It's not anymore. We can joke. You can argue all you want. It's not. The ratings prove that. Major League Baseball is still a popular sport. Don't get me wrong.
It's pastime.
But it's not America's pastime anymore. The favorite sport in our country, it's not even close, is football. You get to see the ratings. Major League Baseball has always been a reactive sport. Almost always has been a reactive sport. And, you know, the reactive thing, you know, you have a tie in an all-star game. They had to react and change that. They had issues with home run derby. They had to react. They just don't see things ahead of time. They just don't. They don't. They're not proactive. The time they were proactive, they went to a wild card. I'll give them credit. They went to the wild card. That has worked out. I think last year with COVID, they enacted some different rules. That was being proactive. So I'm going to say they're getting better at it, but always there for a while. When Bud Selig was commissioner, I felt like they were reactive all the time. Reactive all the time. And you got to be proactive, and that's why they fell behind the National Football League. That's part of it. You got to make your game more exciting. You can't have these four-hour games where you have 1,000 pitching changes. Now they're finally addressing that to where you have to pitch the three batters. You know, 18, 19-inning baseball games, they're exciting and all, but they take forever, and not everybody has time to watch a six-and-a-half-hour game. I had a friend that texted me and said, since when do they put a guy on second to start the 10th inning? I said, that started last year.
Yeah.
And the idea behind it is to limit games from going 18, 19 innings so that you don't deplete your pitching staff. Also, fans aren't going to sit through six-and-a-half, seven-hour games. They've got other plans. They go to a game. For instance, if you go to the K, you have plans, right? You go to a game that starts at 1:10 in the afternoon. Yeah, you might be prepared if it goes extra innings, but you don't know how long the nine innings will go, how long it'll take. So you're figuring probably 3 hours at the ballpark. That's probably fair. So if it starts at 1:10, you're thinking, you know what? I'll be out of here and out of the parking lot by maybe 4:30 to 5. And I'll get home. I can eat. Sunday afternoon game is a good example. And I'll get the kids home. If the kids go to the game, I'll get the kids home, and we'll be ready to eat at the dinner table at 6, and then they'll get them ready, have homework done. We'll get them bed a good time, ready to go on Monday. If that game goes 18 innings and it lasts 7 hours, those people are not sticking around and watching the game. They're leaving. But if the game gets over in the 10th or 11th, they might be able to hang around. There's a better chance the game's going to end earlier when you automatically put a guy at second to start the 10th inning. I personally don't like the rule. I don't like it at all. But I understand it.
Well, yeah.
I do understand it. And the Royals took advantage of that. So I had had a friend that's a Royals fan or a baseball fan that was asking about it. And I said, it's designed to speed up the game. The problem is Major League Baseball doesn't stick to the other things they want to do to speed up the game. That's the thing about Major League Baseball. They dip their toe in the water, but they don't jump in. That's been that way for a very long time. And that's part of the reason why Major League Baseball is no longer America's pastime. It might be to you individually, but it's not in this country. And football's passed it by in some ways. I will say this. College football is getting, I think, maybe they're popular enough to get by, but college football is getting worse in games taking too long. College football games now take 3.5 to 4 hours. The national championship game took 4 hours. NFL games can be done in 3 hours. There's no problem. The NFL gets done. You start at noon, it's pretty much done at 3 o'clock, maybe 3:05, 3:10. NFL games don't take forever, but college football games do. And part of that is tons of replays and tons all the stoppages in play. It just happens. The NFL takes forever. And then there's even more passing, so incomplete passes stop the clock. But the college football game takes longer and longer than ever before. Major League Baseball games used to be nice and tight. Now they take forever. If you really want to speed up the game, they always talk about the pitch clock. We're going to speed up the game. Pitch, pitch. They don't do it. They don't enforce it. There is a clock, but they don't do anything with it. And it's kind of like the whole rule about that exists and has for many years and decades is you can determine whether a guy try to get out of the way of a hit by pitch or not. And if he didn't, you make sure he stays at home plate even though he got hit. That rule's hardly applied anymore. The pitch clock, it's loose. They're also supposed to have a certain amount of time, easy for me to say, where you, when you go out as a manager to talk to your team or your pitcher, you're supposed to have only so much time. And I guarantee you, every umpire, it gives them, not everyone, but some are right on the nose. They check the clock on their stopwatch or whatever it is. Or they give them extra time, or they take their sweet time because, you know, it is what it is. This is the way we've done it. And it just slows down the game. Maybe it's good for beer sales. Maybe it's good for concession stand workers. The longer the games, the more money is spent, although the beer sales cut off in the seventh inning. So there's another reason people ain't going to hang around for an 18-inning game. They can't drink anymore. I mean, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of sense that you can tie to putting a runner at second to start a 10th inning so that you can bunt, and in the case of the Royals, bunt, and win the game. I don't like it personally. I would like to see it. You could automatically give a runner at first and then give an opportunity to try to steal second, but I don't like the guy automatically in scoring position per se. Nothing was earned. The offense didn't earn it, although, in fairness, both teams get the same situation. Top of the 10th, bottom of the 10th, they both, it's an equal playing field. Each team gets a guy that is at second. So if you got a guy that got tremendous speed that can steal third and then have guy at third with nobody out, that's a big advantage to teams that have speed. And that's part of the thinking behind having a base running specialist is that, like the Royals had Gerard Dyson, they could have easily last yesterday put him in at second, and they could have, of course, Michael Taylor's got good speed, so that's why they didn't. But let's say it was Salvador Perez at second. The Royals probably would have pinch ran. They probably would have put Dyson in at second. And if they might have flat out tried to steal third straight up, and then you have three at-bats to drive a guy in from 90 feet. It is an advantage to some teams compared to others, just like it's an advantage to play in a small ballpark and you have home run hitters and then guys that are gap hitters, you know, do better at Kauffman Stadium. There's an advantage no matter where you play, but the point is that the rule is equal, that each team will have one at bat, and each it's not sudden death, and each team starts with a runner at second. So I'm okay with the rule. I understand where it comes from, and I'm all for speeding up games. And I'm not going to sit through an 18-inning game myself either. If I'm at the ballpark, I might. If I don't have anything else I got to get to, I might sit through the whole thing. But the game has to be sped up. That is one way to speed it up, so I'm okay with it, even though I don't like the premise of automatically having a guy at scoring position. But it is an equal playing field. But there are many other things that Major League Baseball can do to speed up the game besides putting a runner at second to start the 10th inning. And they just don't really enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like Major League Baseball's got lots of rules they just don't want to enforce.
Yeah, exactly. We have all, and then there's all the unwritten rules they don't have, right?
Oh, yeah. The unwritten rules drive me up a wall.
So it's like,
well, you don't do this, you don't do that. Dude, that the baseball, well, you don't flaunt, you don't, you know, toss your bat when you hit a home run, you're showing up the pitcher. Here's an idea. The pitcher needs to get the guy out.
Don't give up a home run. But, yeah, it's just like baseball, that's, and again, that's why it's past time.
Yes, I agree.
And there's just so many rules that they don't enforce. There's so many rules that they have that aren't actual rules. And yeah, they do. They try to make this concerted effort to speed it up with everything, right? The pitch clock. You can't be jumping out of the batter's box. And they enforce that and try to enforce it for like a month maybe when they put the new rule in. And then it's just back to the old baseball. Let's just
supposed to call the high strike, widen the zone. Remember that one here? And then it is, fizzled because comps are like, this is my zone. I've done it for years.
Yeah.
The thing about Major League Baseball or baseball in general, there's no clock.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a pitch clock we talked about, but there is no clock. There's no running clock. There's no stoppage in play for a clock. Of course, now we don't have to, one thing about baseball, we don't have to go back and put more time on the clock like we have to do all the time in college basketball and pro basketball. So there's pros and cons to all these sports and how they handle things. But Major League Baseball, I like going to a baseball game. I'm still maybe one of the old school guys. I like to sit down and watch a Royals game in person and chill for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I like walking around a little bit or moving to different seats if they're available. I don't mind watching baseball. I kind of enjoy it. Now, if the weather's not very good, I don't enjoy it, but that's with any sport for me. But I'm also not going to watch a game that lasts 5 hours. I want it to be over in 3 hours. That's one thing that you know. And in NBA basketball, it's 2.5 hours. It's over pretty much in 2.5 hours. Now, with more and more replays late in the game, they get a little bit longer. But pretty much when you think about, and this is one thing that soccer does very well, and I know people have heard me complain about ties in soccer, and I still despise them with a passion.
Yeah.
You don't go to a game to watch a tie. That's why the All-Star game was an embarrassment to Major League Baseball when it ended in a tie. You got all these guys to play. Put somebody, re-enter them, and finish and get a winner. You could have easily made that call right away, but the commissioner didn't have the stones to do it. So in soccer, you know when you go, it's over in 2 hours.
Yeah.
There might be the extra time is already figured in. So you know within 2 hours. The only way you aren't going to get if they have a shootout, penalty kicks and everything else in those situations, which don't happen, okay?
Not unless it's a playoff.
Exactly. So a regular season game, you know that you're going to have so much time, and then you're going to have your extra time, whatever, and, you're over. It's done. It's a tie. And so you know when you go to Sporting, whatever it's called now, for Sporting KC Soccer, you know within 15, 20 minutes when you're going to be gone. You know when the game's going to be over.
Yeah.
You know when you go at 7 that probably after 9 you're going to be going home.
Yeah, you shouldn't be any later than 9.
Starting
to walk out of that season.
Exactly. So you know. That's one thing baseball does really well. You know how long a game's going to go. You go to NBA, you go to a baseball game, you go, goodness, it could be 2.5 hours. It could be 7 hours if it goes long. We see games now 9 inning. Well, the Royals-Ranger game lasted 4.5 hours, and the Royals even hit on opening day in a 14-10 win.
Mm-hmm.
That game lasted 4.5 hours, and it didn't even get to the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That's a problem. And I know there's a lot of runs. It's still a problem. I mean, Yankee-Red Sox games in the playoffs, even though the drama was great, I got tired of all the meetings on the mounds over and over and all the pitching changes. I'm like, are we ever going to get any action? And so then what happens is the game goes 4.5 hours, and it didn't even go to 10th inning. It was a 4.5-hour game, and it was a playoff game. Well, you don't need to rush it. It's a playoff game. Well, you know what? My kids got to go to bed at some time. Don't you need future generations of kids to really be hooked on baseball to make it keep going? And that's one thing baseball does a poor job of. They don't make it kid-friendly in regards to their playoffs and World Series. I know it's all about the money, but I think that'll come back and bite them a little bit. You know, college football is going that way, too. Some of these games start at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. You know, national championship game on a, you know, a weekday night. That's, you know, college basketball started at 8:20. I remember it used to start at 7:20. Yeah. Now it's 8:20. We're not making it friendly for families or kids to really want. My youngest kid is a huge sports fan. My oldest is too. My youngest only got to watch part of the national championship basketball game. We had to, and he was mad. Now you cause problems, sports people, for families that like sports like me, and my boys are ticked off. They can't stay up to watch the game because they got school the next day. That's not school's fault. It's about money. And so these different sports have to find a way to appeal to the fan. You have to appeal to the fan. If you have no fans going to ball games, if you have no fans watching, the ratings tank, sponsors pull out, your sport goes defunct. Now, I don't think any of that's going to happen anytime soon, but baseball has not done a very good job of marketing their players. The NBA has. The NBA is really good at that. Mm-hmm. The NFL has done a pretty good job with their set of stars. The NFL doesn't do it for as many as they probably should, but the NBA has always been good at that. But if you go to an NBA game, you're looking 2.5 hours. Okay, maybe 3. The NBA game ain't going to go 4 hours. It's not.
No.
A college basketball game's not going to go 4 hours.
The overtime game I went to in Memphis, that's the only way you're going to get longer games.
Yeah.
Too. That was probably about 3:15, I think, is what it ended up being.
I mean, you're not going 4 hours.
No.
A college football game, you're talking 4 hours, it seems like, anymore. Three and a half to four.
So many media timeouts.
Oh, yeah. But, in a way, you know you got a four-hour now thing. You're pretty much
you
a four-hour
well,
window.
Well, I mean, in college
baseball,
football,
though,
too.
It can be all over the place.
Yeah.
Soccer, 2 hours.
College, I mean, if you're watching on TV, it can be kind of a four-hour game. Let's move it along. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, when you go to, like, say you're going to a K-State game or something on a Saturday, you know your Saturday's shot no matter what.
Yeah.
So that, with a four-hour, whatever, however long a game lasts is how long it lasts. Because you're DVRing other games if you're going to
But
you're
if that game lasted
football.
6 hours, you ain't going to stick around probably.
No. And, well, I know, you know, I've been to some of those where, you know, it takes 7.5 hours to complete the whole thing because there's an hour and a half
and
stuff like
and
that.
And a lot of people don't come back after that delay.
And so there's all kinds of different things, you know. But, yeah, in those situations where, you know, maybe close game, long overtime, people will stay, but rain delays are probably not and things like that. But yeah, typically you do plan for probably at least 4 hours for a college football game.
NASCAR is another one. You know how long it's going to be as long as you don't have tons of... I mean, crashes slow it down. If you have a gigantic crash, that could really slow it down. But, you know, it doesn't cause the thing to go 2 hours long or an hour long. The weather is the problem there. And my youngest son, he watched a little bit of getting ready for the race the other day. He goes, Dad, you know what NASCAR needs or what racing needs? My son's not even watch racing.
Yeah.
My 7-year-old son is an expert on racing after watching a little bit. And it was so funny. He goes, you know what you need, Dad, for racing? I go, what? A dome. I go, yeah, you do. You do. Now, that'd be a lot of noise inside a dome to have racing. But I was like, well, maybe that's something down the line. You know, I never thought Wrigley would ever have lights, and they did. And then on 8-8 of 88s when they first had lights. And maybe NASCAR, you know, eventually will have races inside these big structures where they wouldn't have to worry about the weather.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to dome the track and not the stands because I wouldn't want to be in there. I mean, I know you can
that'd be so loud.
You can wear, like, the earmuffs, but...
Yeah. Well, but if you go to monster truck stuff, that's super loud. It's and you do that. Inside, yeah. But it's not constant noise, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're revving, and then it relaxes a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas NASCAR would be bam, 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 but amplified.
Yeah. That's so, another thing about soccer, too. Like, you talk about crashes could delay things. If there's injuries in soccer,
the clock keeps going, running.
It's just extra stoppage time, and usually they don't put as much time on.
No, they don't.
As what it actually took for the injured player probably to get off the field.
So that's one thing soccer does really well. Like, you know, think about it. You go to a movie, you know how long the movie is going to be for entertainment.
You can look it up right on your, well, it's hour depending 40, on how long they do
the previews.
Some places are up 20 minutes now, it seems like.
And a lot of
like,
commercials now, too. Yeah. But you go, you know, hour 40. All right, so a couple hours, we'll be done. Or that's a 2.5 hour movie. Okay, I know what's going to be over. That's entertainment. Well, that's what sports is. It's entertainment. You have the floating time period. So like I said, college basketball nowadays, you kind of know it's going to take 2 to 2.5, roughly. You know that pro basketball is pretty much 2.5, maybe 2:45. And I'm not counting the, you know, double overtime situations.
Exactly.
You go to a baseball game, it's all over the place. You can, like, we had a 7-inning high school baseball game the other night that was an hour 23. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. 1-0 shutout, played Minneapolis. And then the very next game lasted 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And it was the same amount of innings. It lasted about 3 hours, actually. So twice as long. So you might have gone to the doubleheader thinking, I'm going to be here for 5 hours. The first goes 1.5 hours. Now you're going, I'm getting home early. Then the second game lasts 3.5 hours. Like, oh, I'm back to that.
Yeah.
But you could have two games that last 3, 3.5 hours. Next thing you know, you go first pitch at 4. You don't get done till 10, and you don't get home till 11, and your kids have school the next day. So there's a lot of flexibility as to how long games last in baseball, whereas most sports, let's be honest, you know how long it's going to last. Baseball, yeah, I know you could argue, well, wait, it's going to be anywhere from 2.5 to 4. Well, but that keeps getting wider because rarely are you having anything under 2.5 hours anymore. And if anything, it's going the opposite direction, going longer. And Major League Baseball has talked for 10 years about shortening the game, speeding up the pace of play. And you know, do you know, and this it was a few years ago, I read or heard this. Do you know how much actual action in a baseball game takes place? How much actual real-time action in baseball? Because there's
like
30 seconds.
Minutes or something like that? Is
yeah,
it more than that?
22 minutes is what
I
remember.
Somewhere roughly around
22
20
minutes.
Or something. Yeah.
And I don't even know if that's accurate anymore.
Yeah.
22 minutes. So you go to a baseball game and you watch the Royals play the Angels tonight at 7:10, and the game goes to 10:10, so it's 3 hours on the nose tonight. 22 of the 180 minutes that you spent at the ballpark at first pitch to final pitch is actual action.
Well, and that's why you get caught, right, when you're at a baseball game. I get caught looking at, like, all the scenery, right, like people walking around and sometimes, and then obviously at the fountains at the K, you just kind of get lost in it sometimes, and because there's so much dead time.
So you have all that dead time, so you're looking around, and then when actually one great thing happens, you miss it.
I know. It drives me nuts.
Now, if you do that in soccer, you're really mad. The only goal of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know? Right. Actually, that has gone down. The actual – you were close. The actual amount of action in a Major League Baseball game is 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Over the course of a three-hour game. So there's my example. 7:10 to 10:10 tonight, 18 of the 180 minutes, which is what, 10% of the game? So 90% of the game, nothing's happening in regards to actual action. Now, there's guys talking, they're developing strategy, they're going to the replay booth. But in regards to you need to just pick the 162 other minutes to go to the bathroom. Yeah. You got plenty of room to go to the bathroom, go get something at the concession stand. A lot of times you can turn at the concession stand and still see part of the game in some cases, or they have monitors so you don't miss it. But only 18 minutes. Yeah. That's the average amount of play.
When you think about all that time that's in between half innings, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that could be
when
short,
you just start adding that up, you know that's going to take a big chunk out of the actual gameplay and action that's taking place in the game.
Right. Well, here's one for you. How much actual action do you think happens in football? In a football game? A regular NFL game? NFL.
Probably like 17.
18.
Yeah.
Same. The exact same.
Yeah.
Now, think about that for a second. We were just talking about how football is it's the pastime now, okay? Mm-hmm. And baseball is America's past pastime, as you said. I thought it was well put. But yet, the average amount of action is the same.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
For
because you have a play clock.
About
you have
the same
a,
time.
In between
yeah.
every play.
Yeah.
You know, now if you go to a game where a team plays no huddle or they, you know, go fast, like the Chiefs there back a couple years ago, there's more action in those NFL games. But the average amount of real action in an NFL football game and a Major League Baseball game is the exact same, 18 minutes.
Yeah.
So, but yet, would you think that, though? When
real
you go to
action.
A baseball game and you go to an NFL game, do you think if you surveyed 100 fans, 1,000 fans, and they've all went to the same thing, what do you think they would, how do you think the poll would go? I would bet you most people would say there's more action in football.
But and I think that's probably what's your definition of action, right?
Yes, right.
So I'm guessing the football definition of action is snap to end of play.
To me, action is substitutions.
There's a lot
changing.
Of action in a football game to keep you watching that, right? Pre-play.
Yeah.
Like, what formations are they running? What are they doing?
Baseball,
I'm sure
they might
not
shift a little bit.
Shifts and drags and audibles and all that stuff as actual action. Mm-hmm. Right. But they're actually... still action that you can watch to see how they're setting up.
Right.
What's the defense doing? If you really want to watch that stuff. Right?
Showing blitz, going guys in motion.
Now, I will, usually when I'm watching a game on a DVR, I'll skip snap to end of play.
Right.
Unless it's a team I really want to watch and I want to learn about, then I'll be watching all the pre-snap action and things like that. That's why they call it action, pre-snap action.
Right.
Because it's still action. It's just not game action like they're saying, but it's all part of the game. So I think... you don't have that in baseball, right?
Yeah, no.
No.
Unless
I'm not
the
interested
defense,
in watching this outfield
if you're really into it, the defense shifts slightly sometimes.
Yeah.
Or you see the defensive shift, but it's the exact same thing.
Once
every
that batter's at the plate, they're not moving again until he's done.
Right.
You know, and you know, football, there's movement all the time.
Yeah. Sometimes they move. I mean, sometimes defense moves during the at bat because if there's a runner on and they steal second and everything changes.
Yeah, I mean situations might change.
Or two strike count, you go straight up maybe instead of the shift, who knows. But you see a lot more pre-snap action than you do pre-pitch action, I think is what you're saying. But it is interesting to look at it from that standpoint is that why is NFL so much more popular than Major League Baseball and yet they have the same amount of action? It is interesting when you compare that. I did not realize they're the exact same amount of time, 18 minutes of real action. So that's the challenge for all these sports is to market their product. You know, you heard this about the WNBA. You've heard about women's sports. We were talking about last week. How do you market your product? It's got to be a product that people desire, but then also it's got to be a product that, you know, can get the visibility it needs to become popular. You know, UFC has done a really good job. I have to give, what's his name, Dana White?
Yeah.
I got to give him a ton of credit. Whether people like him or not, that guy's been very, very, very smart. And how he's been able to do different things. And sometimes he pushes the envelope. But I think if you're a new sport, you have to push the envelope. Because if you don't, it's just not going to naturally happen. You have to push the envelope to get... because there's already enough... there's enough options out there for a sports fan to fill their time. Now, would they like to have other options? Yeah, some probably would. But you've got to make your mark as a new sport somehow, some way. And if you don't... or if you don't make a good first impression, people will be like, that's boring.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays, the younger generation, there's not as many kids that play baseball as they once were. Now, I mean, there's still, like, our school, Boyd, there's quite a few. That's a good thing to see if you're a baseball fan. But a lot of kids, my kid says it, he likes basketball, he likes football, but there's usually more action. Baseball is probably out of those three sports, that's his least favorite of three because it's just you stand around a lot.
Yeah. Well, you brought up Dana White, UFC, too, and he's got a product. You talk about entertainment, right? So he's got a product where he lets his athletes, his people, his everybody basically say what they want.
Yes.
They're not PC.
Nope. They're not censored.
They do what Dana White is 100% not politically correct.
Right.
Like, he'll say what he wants, but again, it's an entertainment.
Yes.
And it's that venue, and now you've got guys, oh, he said what? And then now you're interested in seeing what else is going on in the UFC, right? Well, how are they running this operation? And I think that's probably the biggest reason that's gotten so big is because there's pretty free roam for those athletes and those mixed martial artists to kind of say what they want to say and do what they want to do, set when they want to compete. Mm-hmm. If you're big time like Conor McGregor, once you get to that level, you can be like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to tell you when I'm going to do it, right?
Right.
Not the other way around. Dana's going to wait for those guys, too. He's like, you tell me when you want to go, we'll get you on the card, right? And so I think that's one of the big differences in when you're trying to grow a sport is you need to be open to a lot of different things, and you need to be understanding that if you are in this for the entertainment value at the professional level and really at any level, some things might have to be a little different than what you actually want them to be to get that name out there. Now, I'm not saying everybody should take the route that UFC took and just let everybody do and say what they basically what they want.
But right.
I think that is a lot of the appeal of UFC.
No, I agree with
it's
you
like,
there.
It's like WWE on steroids, right? Like,
yes,
it's not
it
scripted.
Is. And it's real, too,
yeah,
by the way. Sorry
exactly.
to let the cat out of the bag for those who believe WWE is real. College football games right now, the average length, 3 hours and 24 minutes. So 3.5 hours. It's going it's going longer all the time.
It's definitely longer than NFL.
Yes,
no
it is. It is longer than NFL. And then to go along the lines of action, the sports that we just mentioned, all the sports we just mentioned, the one that has the most action is soccer. You don't think that way, but it's true. Because the ball is constantly going.
Yeah.
They're constantly running around. There's hardly any, I mean, there's every once in a while, like I said, there's stoppage for stop for an injury. But there's more action in soccer than any other sport, and they can condense it in 2 hours. They can do that. They have intermission, but it's 90 minutes, you know, right? 45 minutes each half. But the thing that soccer could really do to elevate themselves is somehow change the scoring. I don't know what they got to do to make scoring because that's the knock on soccer. As I talk about ties, not a lot of goals, no goals, 0-0 tie, yay, lots of action, no scoring. Whereas in football, usually, even if there's 18 minutes of action that we just talked about, there's scoring. In baseball, nowadays, there's at least home runs and there's, you know, there's scoring.
Yeah.
But in NBA, of course, in basketball, there's always scoring and there's more actual real live action in basketball. That's why that's one of my favorite sports. Probably is my favorite sport to watch, although I like football a lot too. And I enjoy baseball. I mean, if I had to rank them, I don't know. It used to be different, but now I think I like watching basketball, college basketball, and college football quite a bit, and NFL football. So for me, it's probably basketball, football, and then baseball's after that. But soccer, if you give me more scoring, I'm gonna probably watch more often because I can be done in 2 hours and I could watch a 7-6 soccer game. That seems more appeasable to me, appeasing than 1-0 or 0-0. Of course, you can have a football game that can be 6-3 and be boring too. You can have a baseball game. Some people say a 1-0 baseball game is boring. I don't think it's boring at all. I think a 1-0 baseball game it's amazing to watch how good the pitchers are and the defense to shut down major league hitters. I don't think a 1-0 baseball game is boring at all. In fact, it goes quicker. So
it's quick, yeah.
Might not be as many scoring chances. I'm okay with the baseball 1-0 from time to time. Now, if every baseball game was 1-0, 2-1, I get sick of it. Just like soccer, there's a lot of 1-0, 2-1, 0-0. But soccer, if you think about it, has more action than these other sports we just talked about. Now, if they could somehow enhance the scoring, it would make it. Don't you think it would help its popularity?
Oh yeah,
and eliminate
hockey
too, and have the penalty kicks, and never have a tie, just like hockey finally figured out.
Yeah,
NHL had tons of ties, and they finally realized we got to go to a shootout because we lose in fans, we don't have ratings. The shootout is one of the most exciting things in hockey.
Oh,
you see it in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the Olympics! You're going for the move on to the gold medal match. That is, oh my goodness! You talk about just nervousness and I love that. And soccer should do penalty kicks and not have ties ever. And they've never that's the way it's always been. You can do that all you want. Baseball at least learned to have a wild card. Everybody knocked them on that. Bob Costas and others, and they were wrong. Well, NFL, they're going to a 17th game and they added a playoff team. Nobody complained about an extra playoff team in each conference last year. You have to adapt. You have to change. There's constants in life. It's death, change, and taxes. And taxes was supposed to be temporary.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem soccer has on that side of it is that there's so many rabid fans in Europe and stuff like that that they're not like mad that the game's in
the right, but I'm talking about America.
Worldwide basis.
I'm talking about America because so soccer is the most popular sport in the world.
It is.
Soccer is the most popular sport in the world. But in America, in the United States of America, it doesn't even come close to registering among the top four.
Yeah.
So NASCAR is more popular in soccer. But if you did something here in this country where you could make it, and who knows, it might catch on across the world.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't care what the rest of the world does when it comes to soccer.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that. If guys want to play over here and want to play a different style of soccer, then we have something unique, our country. Isn't our country unique to start with? Why not make soccer our own in a different way? Now, traditionalists out there may say, oh, Wade, you're just a guy, don't know nothing about soccer.
And I think,
I'm just talking about it. Listen, the soccer ratings are not good.
Yeah.
Okay? They're getting a little better. Don't get me wrong. They've gotten a little bit better. They've done a little bit better marketing. They got a little bit better TV deals. But let me, like, come on. Look at the main networks. Is soccer in your prime time a lot during the week? No. But NFL is now about three nights a week. And you've got the NBA's got a good marketing deal, and Major League Baseball still got a really good deal, no doubt, you know. But it helps when they're not competing against some of these sports, and so they've got a good deal. But when you look at soccer and some of those other sports we talk about, women's sports in particular too, they don't have very good media deals and marketing deals, and that's what's gonna probably keep them down, even if it is an exciting brand of stuff. Whereas the UFC's now is becoming big on Saturday nights. FS1's got a deal with them, and that's growing, and then ESPN's starting to do more of it.
Yeah, and they've moved their pay-per-view to ESPN Plus.
Yes, and so they have found the right liaisons and partners, the UFC, to grow. Soccer and some of the women's sports have not, although, like I said, WNBA is getting a little bit more exposure as they go, but it's slow. It's slow growth. Whereas UFC is just whoosh. And, you know, NASCAR is another one that I leave out sometimes. You know, the popular NASCAR has gone whoosh as well over time. But UFC has been a quicker ascent to get that popularity, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think part of what helps UFC is that boxing's kind of become stale.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It used to be the day where you had all kinds of big-time matches in boxing, and the champions would box 2-3 times a year. And now, you're lucky if the guy boxes once a year.
Yeah.
And then there's the argument about this guy is ducking this guy, and I'm not going to fight this guy. And then you get these retread fights between Pacquiao and Mayweather, you know, or Conor McGregor has to step into a boxing. You know you're in trouble in boxing when Conor McGregor has to step in for a fight against Mayweather. So that's one of the other reasons why UFC has done so well, is that boxing has, quite honestly, fallen off the table a little bit. And Dana White took full advantage of it, and whoever's in charge of promoting and marketing boxing, you know, they still got some decent deals here and there where they're on in the evenings, prime time, every once in a while if there's a big fight. But boxing just, you know, it is, I think it's gone down in popularity, and UFC has shot up, and that's called taking advantage of your opportunities. And that's what I'm saying with soccer, is that here's an opportunity in this country. If we go ahead and break it all down, you want to argue against college football, pro football, you want to argue against baseball and say, listen, you might knock our sport, but guess what? In 2 hours, and I've seen it been marketed by Sporting KC, hey, you know in 2 hours you're going to go home. Mm-hmm. You know what time you're going to get home. You know when you're going to walk out of the stadium. And in 2 hours, you're going to watch some real fun, exciting soccer. Now, you add in, honestly, the biggest knock on soccer to me is my knock. There's not much scoring. Wasn't that a knock on baseball there for a while? So they doctored the balls was the rumor, so they have more home runs when Sosa and McGuire, you know, after the strike, that's what brought baseball back, whether they're on Andro and steroids, whatever. But people loved it. The chicks dig the long ball, right? I'm okay with digging goals. I think chicks will dig goals if they go to soccer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think us guys will dig goals. Or you know what? Here's the thing. Wherever you shoot the ball from, it counts as different points. You do that in basketball. You have a three-point line. I mean, why not a longer goal counts as 2 points?
Yeah.
You know? So if you're down, you know, 2-0 in soccer, let's be honest. If you're down 2-0 in soccer with about 5 minutes to go, that soccer match is over. A lot of times you're up 2-0 in any soccer match, it's over, no matter how much time's left. But you're up 2-0 with 5 minutes to go in a soccer match, that match is over. But if you suddenly have one kick of a soccer ball that can tie it, if you can kick it from a certain point of the field, you paint a different line on the field. I know, that's not the way it's been done all these years. Listen, we're America. Let's do whatever we want. Let's put our own twist on it. We tweak other sports. Why not tweak this?
Yeah.
You don't think you don't think there's tweaks of the National Football League, the NFL football game, the football game itself, our football. In over other countries, there are tweaks. They do different things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why can't we do something different with soccer?
Yeah.
Apparently we can't.
Yeah.
I think it's holding them back sometimes.
Oh, yeah, well, I think to a point, but I think there's more soccer fans in this country than people realize.
It could be.
There's
it not doesn't show up on the ratings,
it's
though.
It's not right here. But, I mean, attendance-wise, soccer is getting way more fans than hockey. I mean, you know, just based on what
hockey done a really bad job with all their strikes and their shortened seasons, and then they got a horrible TV deal.
Yeah, and I don't know, because and then that's another question of MLS is like, how bad do you want to up that viewership to the casual fan instead of the rabid and soccer
if fans. You alienate so, rabid yeah. ones, yeah. No, I get that. I get that.
Because I don't know where they're at on that.
But I'm going to ask you this. So. Where's the money in sports?
Well, the money's in football, for
no,
sure.
No, no, no. I'm talking about where's the money in any sport? Where's the money? Where does it come from? What do you need
from
to
TV
really?
Rights.
Hello.
Yeah.
So you need the casual fan. You need, if you want to grow your sport, you need people like me.
Yeah.
To watch it.
Yeah.
And if I don't watch it, it's not going to grow as much as it needs to.
Yeah.
That's my point. Because you get a TV deal, you get a big TV deal. All you got to do is look at the NFL for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You get a big TV deal. Well, and Major League Baseball, NBA, same way. And NHL doesn't. They have something, but it's not great. But that's where soccer, you can sit here and go, well, I alienate the rabid fans. Okay, fine. But you know what? If you can reach out and grab all these fans that are casual fans or guys or and gals that aren't really into the game, if you can get them and get a good TV deal, the rabid fans will still watch. They can argue and complain and whine and bellyache all they want. They'll adjust.
Well, yeah.
Trust me by that.
I'm not doubting that.
When you said you might lose them, you might lose them for a short period of time.
No, I didn't say lose them.
But you're saying,
I said,
well, you're worried about
said,
the rabid fans.
No, I'm asking. I wasn't worried about the rabid fans. I'm asking what does the what's the MLS's end point is my question. What's their end game? Do they want to gain those casual fans and change their game? I didn't say anything about you. You said it might upset the rabid fans.
No, you said something about rabid fans, and then that's where I took off. But that's okay. Whatever. I don't know exactly how you worded it.
What I was basically saying about the rabid fans is they don't care that there's ties in soccer.
Right.
And I was going to continue to say that, and then you cut it off. You say you might lose those fans. I'm not the one that said you might lose those fans.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is I know those. I'm not disputing
Don't you that. Think you'll those alienate rabid still, fans if you change the rules?
You might though? Alienate them, but right. those I they will not stop watching.
I think
that,
I
disagree
agree.
With
That's
any of
my
that,
point.
What you said
That's,
there, so I wanted to right. clarify that right. on my end. That those rabid fans are not leaving and stopping watching.
So
the
then,
MLS
what are you scared of? Why is MLS scared of changing things to make it more entertaining?
That's what I don't know. Maybe they just want to stay with the traditional rules, and they know that their fans are cool with that, and they know they're making enough profit right now, and that soccer is still growing in this country. There's records that show that.
It is.
And TV deals are getting better in soccer. There's a lot of people that saw the MLS's back tournament, and they had prime time. They were the game at that point.
Well, first of all, let's stop on the MLS in regards to COVID-19. They got more exposure because of COVID-19.
What I'm saying is there were, no matter how that happened, there were more viewers, and I think that's helping. It's helping them right now,
yeah.
people that actually watch that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and dispute any of this, that if they changed their rules and got casual fans to watch, it wouldn't be better for their bottom line. I mean, if you're debating that, you don't know how sports are driven, like you said. And I'm not debating any of that.
So
my
so,
question is, does the MLS, is the trade-off for the MLS of changing their rules the way they like to play soccer and the way they feel soccer should be played, is it good enough to change their game and sacrifice what they feel is the actual game of soccer and their sport that they're playing? I don't know how they feel about that. So I can't answer the question as to why they haven't changed. Maybe they don't think they need to change. Maybe they're pretty content with where their sport is right now in America.
Well, okay.
And
so,
continuing to gain and get viewers without changing the rules.
But are they really gaining on the three major entities? Major League Baseball, NFL, and NBA, those are the three big players, man. The NHL has fallen off. Okay, wow, you're up. Maybe soccer's four. I don't even think it's four yet. I think NASCAR's four.
Soccer's four, based on what I looked at.
Soccer's ahead of NASCAR? Yeah.
Soccer is America's fourth favorite team sport.
Okay, well, team sport. They might not count NASCAR as a team sport.
Yeah.
To me, that is a team sport.
Yeah, it is, but I don't know.
I don't think
it's the fourth favorite team sport.
All I know is NASCAR ratings have done pretty well.
And I think soccer will overtake baseball fairly soon. Personally. Again, it's not.
They're going to have to.
It's not popular here, but when you get to those metropolises, it's way more popular.
Yeah, but if they're going to overtake baseball, they're going to have to get the bigger TV deal in baseball, and they're not even close to that yet.
No.
Not even close.
No.
So they're not going to overtake baseball for a very long time. Even though all the issues we talked about with baseball, which that doesn't help baseball. That doesn't help. Like we talked about earlier, the instant replay, that doesn't help them. But soccer still doesn't have even close to as good of a TV deal as
no,
Major League Baseball.
No.
So until they get that, Dusty, they're not even going to catch baseball. They have to
not,
get that.
Not financially and things like
no,
that.
No, I'm not
I
talking
feel
financially.
Like popularity.
I'm talking popularity. Dude, what do you think TV deals are based off of? TV deals come because of popularity. You have no TV deal if nobody watches. So if Major League Baseball has a bigger TV deal and soccer doesn't even come close to having the same TV deal, you can't tell me that soccer is more popular in baseball because you're sitting there going, well, they're more popular in baseball. Well, they should have a big TV deal because marketing execs and the big wigs in Bristol, Connecticut, and wherever else, and CBS, ABC, NBC, they should be, if soccer is more popular than baseball, explain to me why there isn't this gigantic soccer deal right now, TV deal, where soccer is on Saturday nights on ABC, okay, and it's on Fox or whatever it might be, Sunday night soccer. They don't have that. There's Sunday night baseball. There's Saturday afternoon baseball. Yeah. You don't have any of that. So you can sit here and tell me that soccer, you can read your notes all you want, tell me that soccer is more popular. The soccer people can tell me soccer is more popular in baseball.
Again, it's not. Said that
it's yet. Not. It's not more popular in baseball. No, you're not. you're saying it could catch it soon. To me, it ain't going to catch nothing soon until it gets a TV deal equivalent to Major League Baseball. And they're nowhere close to that right now. So that's nowhere soon. I mean, what's soon? 2 years? 3 years? 5 years? 15 years? Soccer's a long way off.
Based on the projection of how long it's taken to get to where they're at.
It's going
to
take a long time before they're ever going to catch baseball, even though I would argue baseball doesn't do enough proactive things in their own sport as well. But I think in soccer, they're not doing enough proactive things either to really just catapult themselves to the level that you could get that big TV deal. I just don't believe right now you have a whole bunch of people wanting to tune in this country to get a 0-0 tie. I don't think a ton of people are all about a 1-0 game in soccer, and TV knows that's just not going to sell.
Well, yeah.
And you know why they base that off of? They base it off of popularity. So popularity ties into it. So if somebody tells me soccer is more popular than baseball, that is, you can go ask your 50 friends and 48 tell you like soccer more than baseball. That's your unequivocal survey. But there's nothing scientific to it. All I need to do is look at what do TV executives pay for? What do networks pay for? What does Disney do when they pull out of their back pocket? What do they pay for? They're not paying for a big soccer deal. They're paying for a big Major League Baseball deal, all right? Now, down the line, if soccer becomes as popular or more popular in baseball, you know what? ESPN may decide, oh, the Major League Baseball deal is coming up for negotiation or a contract runs out. ESPN may say, you know what? We're going to go with soccer instead of baseball. Now, if you get to that point, now I'll listen to the argument that soccer is more popular than baseball. I'll listen to it. But until we get to that day, I'm sorry, I'm not going to listen to that at all. Because if it was super popular and all this stuff, then it would already have a gigantic TV deal. It has not shot up as quickly as UFC. You can go look that up.
No.
UFC has shot up, boosh. I mean, just a rocket, okay, in regards to their popularity and the TV deals they get because they have thought outside the box. They have been super aggressive, and soccer is not. And maybe that's what soccer wants. And soccer's
that's
okay with
saying.
That.
It's the most popular sport worldwide.
I know, but I'm not talking about worldwide.
So why? I need to know, does the MLS want to be popular in the U.S.
Why
like
wouldn't
these
you?
Other sports
why
are?
Why wouldn't you? If you're an owner, you're paying tons of money, why would you not want to make money?
I worded that wrong, but you know what my platform has been here today. It's not, I know you want to be popular, right? But the question is what's the cost? What do they deem the cost is of changing their game based on how much more they would make by changing their game?
But it's interesting.
So that's just my question. I don't know. I 100% agree with you.
Right.
They need to change stuff.
Right.
I'm coming from the side of,
no, I get you.
Do they want to change stuff? And I don't think they do.
And my counterargument is, why wouldn't they want to? Because it's a business. Why wouldn't you? I guess it goes back to college football. Why wouldn't you want to have a gigantic playoff instead of four teams?
We have a lot of these questions about why aren't you changing things.
Right.
But we have questions about why are you changing
things. But it's interesting. We talk about baseball, and we just criticize baseball for being reactive instead of proactive.
Yeah.
But you have to admit, soccer, how proactive are they?
I mean, the MLS, based on the American concept of sports, is way behind. I don't disagree, and we'll never...
Right. But what could speed up the process? I think we both agree, doing something to make it more popular.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, I'm just saying, this is just me personally, I'm not going to lend much credibility to anybody that sits here and tells me that soccer is more popular in America. Well, I know soccer is the most popular sport in the world.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking,
I've never argued soccer is more,
right,
more popular.
Right. And I know that. But I'm talking. There are people that are soccer nuts that'll tell you soccer is more popular than baseball. And all I got to do is come back with, okay, so when's your primetime games of soccer on all the networks?
Yeah.
You don't have them. You know why? Because you're not popular, as popular as baseball. Now, I'm not saying soccer can't get there. I'm not saying they can't get there. I'm saying they're not there yet. And when somebody tells me, I'm a soccer fan, and soccer is more popular than baseball. Well, that's your opinion. Give me the facts. Give me actual facts, okay? Give me actual facts. Have you surveyed everybody in America to tell me that more people like soccer and baseball? Okay, then get back to me on that. Because if that's the case, I guarantee if that's the case, if all these polls are out there and it is very clear-cut that soccer is more popular than baseball, ESPN and Fox would right now be fighting each other to work out a deal to provide a ton of airtime for soccer. Mark my words. Corporate sponsors will be signing up left and right going, we're dumping baseball because soccer's got more people watching it. That is the easiest thing anybody, if they use their common sense logic in their head, can come up with. So you can sit here with the emotional part. Well, I'm a soccer fan, and soccer's more popular than baseball. If it were, it would have the same TV deal or better than Major League Baseball. Now, I chuckle and laugh because it could happen, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. Do you?
Well, listen, I think one thing that I'm factoring into is baseball is not getting any more popular.
No, I agree with that.
Now, and it's dropping. I feel like baseball's dropping, too. So if soccer's rising, baseball drops. Now, it might not be. All these contracts they're giving these baseball players doesn't seem like, I mean, if they got that money coming in, and maybe they're not dropping like I think they are. Maybe we're just, what we complain about replay, you know, and it's not good if you're not going to fix things. And just these little nuances that people don't like about baseball. But we know for a fact that baseball has dropped.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not, what's baseball going to do to improve from where they're at right now?
Right.
Instead of going the wrong, the other keeping going and dropping, keeping going the wrong direction as far as their popularity is concerned. I'm trying to kind of in my mind, I'm maybe factoring that in a little bit too, but I don't know. Maybe I'm giving too much to soccer and taking away too much from baseball.
Right.
I don't watch baseball. I don't care about baseball unless the Royals are playing.
Right.
And I mean, I have to pay attention to it when we talk about baseball on the show.
Sure.
So, you know, I will try to most times know what you're talking about when you talk about a replay thing that goes bad, unless I'm really, really busy and can't get to it, right?
Right.
I'm not on social media that night or something. But, you know, baseball's just losing popularity.
It is, and I can back that up. The average viewership for the World Series has declined dramatically since the 70s, from 44 million in 1978 to a record low 10 million in 2020. Now, it should be pointed out you have many more options to watch now.
Yeah, and that's...
But I will say the more important one is ties into something we said earlier, that the average viewer of national TV Major League Baseball games, how old do you think the average viewer is? The average viewer.
I would say 60.
Okay, 57 in 2016. In 2000, the average year is 52. So what's happening is the average age of a Major League Baseball person watching games is getting older, and that's not good.
Demographics?
Yes.
20 to 29, soccer's more popular.
No doubt. I agree with you.
And so that's part of my head, and I'm thinking, too.
No, I got
kids that have Peacock that are watching, like, EuroLeague, like, Premier League stuff.
Sure.
My buddy's got Peacock. Watches the EuroLeague all the time. He's older than I am.
Right. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not saying soccer can't be as popular.
Yeah.
I'm not saying soccer can't get a better deal than baseball. All I'm saying is right now they're not even close to getting that big TV deal. Once they do that, now they're in. And now it's a matter of who do they bump out, or maybe they all can coexist. But here's the thing. We were talking about baseball. One of the problems baseball has, we talk about how the games go long. That's one of the problems. But another big problem, and I'm telling you, and I said it earlier, and I knew you agree with me on this, is that when you have these marquee big-time games, and you start them at 8 o'clock, 7:30, World Series playoff games go to 10:30, 11, 11:30, sometimes midnight. And on the East Coast, they start an hour. I mean, they start at 8 o'clock, and they don't get done until midnight.
Yeah.
You are losing the younger viewers, like my 7-year-old son. You already lost my 14-year-old son. He plays baseball. He don't watch it. And so, and my 14-year-old son doesn't watch soccer either, by the way. He watches basketball and football. That's what he watches, okay? But that's just my family. That's not scientific. But the point being is that if your viewership is going to older people, the average age in 15 years has gone from 52 to 57. It is trending upward, older, because what happens is that generation of people that grew up with baseball as America's pastime, that generation is, as it's sad to say, eventually generations die out, okay?
We needed things to pass our time.
Yes.
Instead of this. Yes. This phone right in front of us all the time.
We had that, right.
A soccer game lasts 90 minutes, and I'm watching it, right? I'm not sitting around. I can't watch a movie anymore sometimes.
Yes.
Because I get a notification. I get an email. Yes. I get a text. I get a tweet. I know soccer's going to last an hour and a half. I can watch this game.
Sir.
There's 90 minutes of soccer.
I agree with you.
I know that. I can't focus on 4 hours of baseball when I need to check my Twitter.
I know. I hear you.
I check my Twitter to focus on baseball.
Yeah.
You see where that goes?
Yeah, that means you're not watching it.
I'm watching the highlights. We want that in life right now. We want the highlights.
We want it quick.
Get it to me. Get it to me.
Mm-hmm. We're easily leaned in.
I didn't have to watch 4 hours of baseball to see.
Me neither.
The Marlins got screwed.
Right.
I mean, look, he leaned in. It was in the strike zone. I didn't have to watch that for 4 hours to know they lost that game. That's what I'm – and that's why the average viewer is 57, 60, 67 in 20 years because they're retired.
Well, I get that. I do. I hear what you're
saying.
For
the younger generation, that's why it's not popular.
I agree with you. I agree with you to a certain extent on that. I truly, truly do. Because I've argued before that Major League Baseball is losing the younger generation. There are more options out there. I mean, the NFL ratings have gone down some, too. And in fairness to all these sports, there are so many more choices. We didn't have women's sports.
Exactly.
We didn't have UFC. We didn't have phones. We didn't have phones.
It's a past
young people out there, we didn't have cell phones when Dusty and I were going up, okay? So there's so much more to distract. So ratings as a whole, if you try to compare it to the 70s or 80s or 90s, you can't do it because it's not comparing apples to apples.
You can do demographics, but you can't do ratings.
Yes, you can do demographics. And there's no doubt that soccer is more popular in younger people than it is with baseball. However, one thing I will contend with you just for a moment is when you talk about, well, all I got to do is watch the highlights to find out what happened at the end of the game with Michael Conforto. The most popular sport in our country is football. I can do the same thing. I've done the same thing.
Oh,
I don't need to watch an NFL game for 3 hours.
I'm not saying for all these sports last long.
But
time.
NFL, I don't have to watch an NFL game for 3 hours. All I got to do is see the highlights in a 2-minute condensed replay. And if there's something controversial, I'm a Chiefs fan, so I watch the whole game. But there's times I've missed part of a Chiefs game. Do I go back and watch it? Maybe if I know something happened I need to watch. But if it was boring and nothing happened, I don't go back and watch it because I've got other things to do. Soccer, by the way, I don't need to watch a soccer game on TV at all either because if there's no goals, why do I care? Show me a goal. Oh, no, soccer player faking injury again. Where have I seen that before?
Yeah.
You know, oh, what do you know, baseball, another pitching change. Where have I seen that before? You're right.
But soccer's a game where you can do this, right?
Right. You can have your phone
still hear what's going on. Just rewind it real quick.
Yeah, right. You can rewind and see the goal, or you look up and you see the goal, whatever. You're right. But it's a shorter amount of time. Yeah. But yet, it is interesting. College football games are going longer, and it is still extremely well watched.
Yeah.
So that kind of contradicts what you're kind of saying. So I'm trying.
Sure, it does.
I'm trying to figure that out because
but it's
if
you
about sit
what
here,
you want.
In fairness to baseball, if you sit here and say, "Well, we don't watch. I can watch the highlights at the end of a 4-hour game or a 3-hour game, and I don't have to see anything until the final pitch with Conforto got hit." And I totally agree with what you're saying. But I can do the same thing in football. My wife said this
absolutely,
1,000 times. My wife's like, you know, I talk to my wife. I'm like, you're watching this show. You're watching Kardashians. Isn't every show the same? And she's come back with it. She goes, well, isn't every NFL game the same? I go, no, it's not. She goes, well, like, you can tune in. If it's a close game at the end of the game, it's a blowout, whatever. You know who won, right? But if it's a really close game at the end, all you got to do is see the last 5 minutes, right? And I go, yes, that's what I do in an NBA game. She's right. Honey, you're right.
Yeah.
When I go to an NBA, if I watch an NBA game, I don't watch a lot of the first three quarters. I don't. I don't tune into the beginning. The first quarter is a waste of my time. Then the NBA, the only time I really get involved is late in the game. And now that's getting ruined because every time the ball goes out of bounds, let's check the replay. Let's review it under 2 minutes. That's not helping either. So when you have all of these different entities, different sports, different options available to you to watch, your ratings will be down. If you're comparing to the baseball, I mean, NFL ratings are down, by the way, too. Okay, they are. Now, some people want to throw in political part. I think it's just there's lots of options out there. But baseball is, it's trending towards an older viewer because those are the generations that grew up with baseball. The younger generations, like my 14-year-old son, even though he plays high school baseball, he likes it. He doesn't love it. Is that he doesn't sit and watch baseball. He will see a highlight. He has his phone, too. And that's how he keeps up on an NBA. He doesn't watch NBA games. He knows just as much of the NBA as I do because he sees a highlight. He sees it on Twitter, Facebook, whatever it might be. He says Facebook's for old people, so he isn't on Facebook. But he's on Twitter, Instagram, whatever the heck it is, TikTok, all this stuff. And you have this. You're right. You have your phone in front of you. You can get everything
we
you got.
We could sit and watch a game for 4 hours when we were growing up because that was an escape from what
that
we were doing.
That was an escape.
And you didn't get it all the time either.
Right.
You know,
right.
You had the one game of the week on CBS, or whatever.
The Royals, all their games were not on TV.
Yeah.
They used to be Royals.
You couldn't just sit here and watch every single game.
The only time you watched the Royals was baseball on NBC on a Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon. It was game of the week. That's the only time I ever got to watch it growing up when I was young.
Yeah.
Then eventually you got to watch more and more. So it is an interesting discussion about where sports are. And you look at the up-and-coming sports. You know, NASCAR has certainly made its niche. Okay, and it's a niche, I think. And you know, golf, we haven't got to the Masters yet, but Matsuyama, he won the Masters, and he's the first Japanese man in 150-year history of major golf championships to win the Masters. Now, listen, that helps ratings for golf in regards to bringing in maybe the Japanese viewer, you know, because now you got a golfer that won a major. So let's shift to that real quick.
It's okay. Oh. Right, that's the way. Who predicted that by one?
Matsuyama is Japan's first Masters champion.
So when you go to individual athletes, individual sports, like golf, that's another segue. So in golf, you really don't, and NASCAR is the same way, I think. When you watch golf, are you watching golf just to watch golf? Now, some people do. Or do you watch golf to watch the guys, the big guys, the Tiger Woods, the Phil Mickelsons, the popular guys now? Maybe Dustin Johnson. Maybe it's Matsuzuma now that won the Masters. Jordan Spieth. Who knows? Rory McIlroy. There's certain names that you know, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing with NASCAR. You know, although a lot of the guys you used to always know are now pretty much retired. It seems for me that I grew. I mean, you got Jimmy Johnson,
they're
Jeff
in the
Gordon.
Booth now.
They're in the booth now. Yeah. You know, I remember Bill Elliott. I remember Dale Earnhardt Jr. And Jr. doesn't race anymore. You know, you still got Kurt and Kyle Busch and you know, Tony Stewart used to race. He retired. The point being is that NASCAR, you relate to the individual. In NBA, it's become more individualistic. But I think in baseball,
NBA's always marketed it.
I think
way.
In baseball and football, you're more about your team. Although there are probably people that are all about Mahomes, so they watch, they cheer for Mahomes and they cheer the Chiefs because they love Mahomes. But I think football and baseball is more team. And maybe that's why baseball doesn't want to focus on marketing their individual players as much because they want to keep a focus on team. But the NBA is great at people actually cheer for the player instead of the team wherever that player goes. We know that. But those are team sports. But individually, you know, golf. Do you tune in to watch golf to actually watch golf? Or do you tune in to watch golf when one of the big guys is in the lead at the top of the leaderboard around three or four? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm the latter. I don't watch golf all weekend long. I like golf. I do. I used to like playing it. And, well, kind of, depending on how I played. But I don't play much of that anymore because I had other things I thought I could do with my life to spend better time. And it takes a while to go play golf. Although there's times I wish I still went out and played golf because it is a stress reliever. But I don't want to sit there watching golf over and over and over. So guess what? I found out what happened at the Masters, and it sounds like it was a very exciting tournament, and I'm sure I missed out on some great shots. But at the end of the day, I know just like anybody else that watched or didn't watch it, that Matsuyama is the first Japanese man to ever win a major championship in 150-year history of major golf championships. Now, does that mean more Japanese people are going to watch because that man won a major, and now that will help younger golfers who are watching that might be 8, 9, 10, 11 years old right now going, hey, I want to be like Matsuyama, because that's what happened with the African-American golfer. You had Tiger Woods. Golf was considered a rich man's sport, right? Still is to an extent. Tiger Woods, once he became really popular, an African-American man dominating what is considered a white privileged sport, right?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you got more and more different ethnicities. Obviously, we do. We've got Asian-Americans. We've got Chinese. We've got Japanese. We've got different types of players that that are playing golf instead of the white male. You do. You absolutely do. That was great for golf. Tiger was great for golf to turn things in the right direction. You know, NASCAR, having more names, popular names, becoming bigger and bigger and bigger over the years, and, of course, getting a bigger TV deal as they went. NASCAR used to have not a good TV deal, and they got bigger and bigger and bigger. It grew, and it became, I think, you know, the fourth or fifth biggest sport in the country. And then UFC is gaining and gaining, and then there is soccer. And there are different entities because some are team sports and some are individual sports. But the question is, do you watch soccer because of one player? As far as I know, people don't. Now, overseas, Pelé or whoever it might be, they might watch Ronaldo. They might watch it for mainly one guy. And they market a few of the soccer guys. But can you name a whole bunch of individual soccer guys that are marketed? Not in this country.
No.
But you can with the NBA.
Yeah, there's big.
You can in golf. You can to an extent in NASCAR. But in Major League Baseball and NFL does with certain guys, no doubt, especially quarterbacks. We know that. NFL's doing more and more of it over time, which is probably a good idea on their part. And it is becoming even more popular across the entire world, the National Football League as well. So it is an interesting conversation that the Masters just wrapped up, and we're talking about the first in golf. So is that going to help younger people, like a whole bunch of Japanese golfers 10 years from now, all of a sudden take over the tour? And I mean that in a good way, where there's a whole bunch of really good golfers. You know, used to be that Tiger was the biggest hitter on tour back in the day. Now he's not, and there's a whole bunch of guys hit the ball a lot further, and golf became more and more popular, and technology changed. Okay, so that might be the case so many years from now. We might be talking 10 years from now about, you know, four or five different Japanese golfers and golfers that aren't white that are dominating this tour. Okay, I'm not trying to make this a racist thing at all, racism or anything. I'm just talking about the fact of the matter is you got a lot more diversity on the golf tour, which is a good thing, I think. Yeah. So you bring in all these people from different countries competing for major championships. So now you got more and more people that might be interested worldwide to watch the Masters. That helps the Masters. That helps golf. The question then is soccer. It's a worldwide sport. If you get some international stars to come over here and play U.S. soccer, that, and there are from time to time that happens, that helps USA soccer, no question about it, soccer in America. But Major League Baseball, the Major League Baseball players are just here. The old retired ones, typically, whatever, the end of the career, they go overseas. They're not good enough to make it here. Maybe they come back. NFL players stay here. They don't go over there and things like that. So it's just different sports, different entities, how they promote themselves, how they market themselves. And I think the gist of what we're discussing here today is that soccer, along with some other sports, I think we agree on this. I think that soccer and other sports, maybe UFC is one of those, and maybe there's some female sports that are candidates for this, that if baseball continues to have the older viewer, if in 15 years it's gone from 52 to 57, what's it going to be in 2025? Is it going to be the average year 60, 61, 62, like you guessed? Because if it's trending that way, baseball is going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. Because eventually those fans all die out, and you won't have that baseball. I'll tell you what, I think I agree with you to a point that baseball in 20 years, soccer may very easily pass it within the next 10 to 20 years. Maybe five. I don't think anything less than five. But eventually it will. I think you're right if it keeps trending. I just think they can speed up the curve maybe by doing a few different things. Maybe not major tweaks, but just little tweaks. Like the fact that a soccer game's 2-0, I think it'd be exciting to know that one kick can tie this game. Instead of, oh, my God, what are the odds of two goals? We played 88 minutes, and there's only been two goals. How is somebody going to score two goals in 5 minutes? That's pretty much over. But the good thing is you still stick around to watch because you're only there for 2 hours. Yeah. Whereas this other stuff, you might wait for a big rally, and it doesn't happen. It's just really, really intriguing to see where things are going because you are absolutely right. Baseball is trending in an older direction. The younger demographic seems to be leaning towards soccer. Where will things be sports-wise 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the line? Will the NFL have a hold, strong stranglehold on the number one sport in America? Or will we be talking about soccer or UFC or NASCAR? It is very intriguing because there's so many different entities, so many different options for you as a viewer, whether it's on your phone, whether it's on TV, to watch, to follow. And there's even other stuff. There's e-gaming. People can watch people playing video games, which I think is dumber than you know what. But my kid does it sometimes.
Kids are doing it, man.
Why do you want to watch somebody playing a video game? Play the video game yourself. Better yet, go outside. Whatever. I might be inside watching a 4.5-hour baseball game. Call me a hypocrite. I get it. I do. But I think baseball is going in the wrong direction. I think soccer is going in the right direction. I just think that soccer could maybe speed up the process. But maybe they're the smarter ones, and I'm a dumb as a rock. And soccer's going, listen, we're seeing this slow ascent. We'll get there. We're not going to ruin the integrity of our game.
And that's
we're just going to slowly get there. And baseball's plateauing this way. And eventually we're going to meet up with them in 2030, and then we're going to be bigger than baseball.
Yeah.
They may be smarter than I am, and they have more patience. But usually owners and the sports leagues and this and that are all about the almighty dollar. Maybe they're all together and they understand the big, big picture. And like you said, maybe they're satisfied with what they're making right now. I think there's probably, you know, just like any organization for the most part, especially not the big TV deals, that there are probably some teams in soccer that aren't doing great financially. I would guess probably not. Yeah. Women's sports are probably stuff not doing great financially. Major League Baseball, they're doing fine. So is NBA. So is the National Football League. Why? I'll tell you very simple. Those three entities have the three best TV deals in all of sports. So even if the fans are trending older, you still got the TV deal to cover your rear end. But what happens when those fans peter out and die out and the young generation baseball suddenly realizes, maybe we should have had games after school at 3:40 for kids to watch instead of waiting till 8:30.
Yeah.
Soccer's at 9 o'clock and you could go home and tuck your kids in the bed.
Just have them at 5:30 so everybody can watch.
Yes, right. Get out of the time zone.
Get home, watch the game. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it of what you need to do to keep that and sustain.
It's fascinating.
Everything.
This has been a fun discussion. I had no idea we were going there.
I didn't
whatsoever.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to tell me that we script this show, I'm just going to tell you right now, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. One last thing. Max McClung is transferring again. McClung was an immediate impact addition for Texas Tech in his one-and-done season with the Red Raiders. He was Big 12 Newcomer of the Year, all Big 12 second team, and he averaged 16 points a game. When Chris Beard leaves, and remember, the player chooses the school, Dusty, not the coach. Just remember that. I've heard somebody tell me that one
Caleb
time.
Caleb Grill is back at Iowa State.
Caleb Grill's gone from Iowa State to UNLV back to Iowa State because of the coach, because the UNLV coach is now back at Iowa State. So Max McClung is leaving. He's declaring for the NBA draft, and if it doesn't work out for him, then he will, like Ochai Agbaji, would go back to college. The difference is Agbaji is going to go back to Kansas, and Max McClung is going to go somewhere else to play college.
Find a school like Cartier Jada did, right? Like,
I guess.
I'm going to put my name in, and I'm probably not going to make it, so I'll go to some school.
So that'd be
and
his
then
third,
opt out after 4 years.
That'd be his third team in 4 years or whatever, third school. And McClung is one of three starters that has already decided to hit the transfer portal. Kyler Edwards, Micah Peavy are all entering the transfer portal. And then also a very good starter and got some potential, Terrence Shannon Jr. has declared for the NBA draft. So Mark Adams, who is an assistant and associate head coach, apparently they all were about Chris Beard, these guys leaving that are starters, believe it or not. And he will have to, they're going to face a rebuild. You wonder why Kirby Hokut was so ticked off as athletic director and what he said, because he knows this has set back the program for years just by Chris Beard leaving, because all these kids then immediately just go, okay, he's gone, I'm out of here. And I think that's unfortunate. Like, it'd be nice if apparently they don't believe in Mark Adams or don't want to play for Mark Adams, which I find that interesting. If he's a defensive genius, they say, Mark Adams, and so forth and so on, it is interesting that they don't want to stay there, finish their college career, get their education, and play at the university they've played for all their career so far, Michael Peavy and Kyler Edwards and Terrence Shannon Jr., although Shannon Jr., you know, might get drafted. He's got some talent. I get that. But that is interesting. And then McClung as well. Like, why transfer into school? Declare for the NBA draft, don't work out, come back to Texas Tech. But he probably sees the other guys leaving. He's like, I don't want to be a part of that team. Everybody's leaving. And so they just follow the crowd. It's not good for college sports. All the transferring, all the transfer portals and all this other stuff. It's not good. And I feel for Mark Adams. I don't know him at all. Maybe he's not that great of a guy. Maybe that's why these guys don't want to play for him. But I wouldn't think the university would give him the head coaching job if they knew that. It's interesting. Yeah. Poor Mark Adams takes over the job, moving over one seat. And he even helped coach these kids.
Yeah.
He knew him well. And the kids are like, well, Chris Beard's gone, so I'm gone. It's like, whatever happened to fortuitous.
Just don't think it matters who it is that comes in, even if it's an assistant coach. I mean, you're going to have...
Doesn't matter, does it?
You're going to have three, four, five... I mean, UNLV had seven. I don't know how... Right away, when Otzelberger left there and went to Iowa State.
Right.
And, of course, that's a lower level, too.
Right.
I mean, you would think at the Power 5 Big 12 level, they might say, well, he coached us. Let's stay here in this good league, right?
Right.
I don't know. But again, it is... You go for a coach, and you go for a head coach a lot of times. Even though that assistant coach might have been the one that brought you in, once you get there, it's like, this is my coach, and I don't want to play for anybody else. Or if I am playing for somebody else, I want to just do something new.
The argument was always that kids, they should have chose the school instead of the coach. So the coach can leave anytime he wants and get another deal, but the kid's got to sit out a year. And the argument was, well, the kids are choosing the school or should be choosing the school instead of the coach. That is one of the most naive things of anybody ever to say, because the kids do not choose the school because of the school. I mean, now, sometimes it's a factor. Don't get me wrong. Okay, don't get me wrong. But the main reason these college basketball players choose where they're going to go, especially basketball,
yeah,
and they only got 12 on the roster or whatever.
75 scholarships.
Yeah,
in football,
might be a little bit different, but it is different. But although part of that is the coach or the program, the winningness of the program. But in basketball, it is all about the coach and you get recruited, almost all of it. In the school, as long as you got something to tie in with the coach, to back up the coach, if I like the coach, I'm going to play for the coach, probably about anywhere he goes. And obviously that's what Caleb Grill's doing.
He's attached TJ at the hip. He was going to go to South Dakota State, and then he went to UNLV. And he's like, I got an offer from Big 12 school. I'm going to go there. And then Steve Prohm wasn't his coach.
I'm trying to fully understand it. At that age, I guess you're young, you have nothing tying you down. You can go to school, but you got to work on all the transfer papers and transferring your education, the discount. I mean, I transferred from Bethany College to Pittsburgh State one time, and that was a pain in the butt getting stuff transferred over, transcripts and everything. I can't imagine. Like, there's a guy that's transferred seven times. You see that? There's a guy that's transferred seven times at the D1 level, D1, D1, whatever, seven times in 4 years. Max McClung's going to do it three times in 4 years. It's like, did you ever meet any friends and want to hang out with them? Or do you just say, I'm going to make new friends all the time? Wouldn't you want to just chill out and finish up your education? I mean, if you're a good player at Texas Tech, even if you're not a great team, you're still a good player. They talk about it all the time. Recruiters talk about it. But NFL scouts talk about it. They say, listen, if you're a great NFL player, even if you're a D2, we'll find you. Especially in today's age. So if Max McClung goes to Texas Tech and they stink, Max McClung's still going to be a good player. Odds are. In fact, his numbers might go up. He might average 22 a game. But maybe he cares more about winning than his stats, which is commendable. But it just seems like kids bail too quickly.
And I don't think it's just kids anymore, but that's another
coaches
discussion.
Bail. Coaches bail, too. I hear you. All right, good discussion. I love it. Have a good day.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.